God is good. And all the time. Amen. Okay, so I'm excited to have all of you with us today. And this is a very important day. We've been in a series talking about the faithfulness of God and then the faithfulness of Jesus. And today I want to talk to you about the faithfulness of the Godhead to generations. Now, this is good for everyone because how many of you are praying for somebody that you know that needs to come back to the Lord or to the Lord, all right? And how many of you need to know that God is a generational God? And so he is faithful to his word. And so God is so much about generations. He has a lot to say, so I'm going to begin with the promises that he's given us for generations. Is his word true? All right, we can bank on this. So let's start with the promises. Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. So what's the promise? His faithfulness and truth will endure to all generations. All. Say all.
All.
I looked it up. It means all. Okay. One generation shall praise, Psalms 145:4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So what's the promise? One generation shall praise the works and declare his mighty acts to the next generation, and they'll do the same. Okay, Psalms 102:12. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and your remembrance unto all generations. So the promise is, God is never going to be forgotten. He is not going to be forgotten. He always was, he always is, and he always will be, and he always will, and he will always have a people, and they will always be talking about him, and they will always take it to the next generation, and they will always have an open heart, and they will always have an impact, and his people will always bring people back to him because he is worthy, and because we can't stop talking about him, it's going to continue until he comes. And then we're going to be in heaven, and we're still going to praise him. Amen? Okay. Psalms 102:28. The children of the servant of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So what's the promise? The children of God's servants and their seed will be established. And that is a big deal, because established means they're going to stand. Established means they're going to be faithful. Established means they're going to make provision for the next generation. Established means they are going to tarry before the Lord. And so, how amazing of a promise is that? So it doesn't even matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter what people are acting like. This is the promises of God concerning children and their seed. Amen? Daniel 4:3. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And so the promise is this, that the kingdom, his rule, his reign is going to last for every generation, from generation to generation. So there's always going to be evidence of him. I said there's always going to be evidence of God. Hallelujah. And so signs and wonders and dominion is going to happen. And he will advance his kingdom through love. Exodus 20, verse 6. Showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So there is no wayward child that can turn away from his love. He is faithful to your generation, and that's why prayers matter. That's why we take the time to pray. That's why we keep asking you to come and join us. Now, we have those prayer times at Liberty, but how many of you pray at home too? Yeah. And so, you know, this week I was meeting with Tirsa and Maylene, and it turned into prayer. And we were praying, and we got to this point where we were talking about the goodness of God and the greatness of God, and there just got to be this revelation of who he was to us individually, and I'll have them teach on what they got someday. But in that moment, there was such a presence of God, and I said, okay, you feel this? And they go, yeah. And I go, well, this is where you most people stop. We get into the presence of the Lord, and we know he is among us, and we've declared his faithfulness, and we know what he says about whatever he's talking to you about at the time, and then we are assured that he is going to do what he said, and then we start talking about him some more, and then we're like sitting there, and I go, do you feel that? And they said, yes, and I said, that is his presence, and that is where we start praying. Most people are satisfied because his presence has showed up, and now you feel good. You feel good because God is in the room. You feel good because you know what he's doing. But that is when we pray, because that is when his presence is there to take everything to the next level. And so we stop short many times of making these declarations and of taking the time to see what his promises are in every situation, whether it's your family or whether it's your health or whether it's your situation. But when you have the word of God and it comes alive in your heart, that is when you begin to pray, and that's when things change. Amen? And then you may not see the change that moment, but you can be guaranteed he heard your prayer and changes on the way. Amen? And so, Exodus, he's showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah, he is faithful. Okay, Jeremiah 31. Thus says the Lord. Thank God for this verse. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. Your work. What work? The work that you do in prayer. The work that you do in staying faithful. How many of you know it's a job to stay faithful to God? You know, sometimes it's hard. But he says, don't cry about it. Just keep doing what he asks you to do, and your work will be rewarded. How? They will return from the land of the enemy. They will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, and your children will return to their own territory, the territory that God has positioned them to have, the territory that God created them to rule over. And to have dominion and to take their place for, and so that you can be very sure that your children will return from the land of the enemy. Amen. So our Father is a Father of favor and kindness and mercy and covenant. Isaiah 59:21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Amen. He has put his words in my mouth. And if you're putting the words of the Bible in your mouth, this works for you. And it will be in the mouth of my children and in my children's children forever, and you can claim that every day. There's no ability of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy if you are declaring and decreeing and standing firm on the faithfulness of your God and on his promises. His promises endure forever, and there is no one like our God. Look at somebody and said, there's no one like our God. So his favor is on you for 1,000 generations and your family and their children and their children and their children. And so the presence will go before you. His presence is going to go behind you. And he's going to be there in the morning. He's going to be there in the evening. He's going to be there for them. And you know he has a way of going and regrouping people even when they don't think they could be regrouped. And so all of these are promises from our faithful Father. And the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so I wanted to set the tone for all of that, because today we are dedicating me LeMay. Oh, look at that doll. Okay, so it is our privilege today to do that. So Anthony, Where is Anthony? Is he working? Oh, okay, he's coming. He's working behind the cameras. What's happening? She's coming. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay, now, in case you're new to Liberty Life Center, the Taylor family has been with us since day one. Actually, I was with the Taylors, and they were with me even before Liberty existed. And so that is one of the wonderful things about God, is that he puts lives together. And then I got to see the Taylor boys and helped to see them raise up in God. And then I got to see Missy be born. And before Missy was ever born, we were in prayer at my house, actually. And Cindy was there. Do you know this? And Cindy was there, and I saw her in the spirit, and she was so pregnant. I mean, so pregnant. And she was waddling, and she was walking, like, down this aisle that was, like, slanted. And it was before we were in Western High School. And then when we got... When we got pregnant with you, that's how I feel about you. When she got pregnant with you, I looked up one day, and there she was coming down that aisle, waddling down the aisle, and I go, that was it. But I told her that night, you're going to have a baby, and it's a girl. And I didn't know your name was Melissa, and you're still Missy to me, but I saw how they loved you, and I saw every time that you were around, we all celebrated you. And so, and your parents are the same way. And if I ever saw a match of in-laws, there it is a miracle of God, because there is nobody that matches better than this family with this family. It's just amazing. And so, and then we got to meet you, and then look what God has done. And so we are very excited about this. Okay, so we are here with the baby dedication. Why do we do this? Because it is an opportunity to celebrate God with a child that carries his very own DNA. You carry God's DNA. You carry God's DNA. And Mila carries God's DNA. And so that's why we're here. Because we're acknowledging him. And we're acknowledging what great things he has done. And so... this is a ceremony where believing parents and sometimes entire families, which looks like pretty much, and church families also, make a commitment before the Lord to submit the child to God and to raise him according to his words and his ways. So today it is my privilege to participate in the public dedication of Mila Mae Gutierrez. I've practiced so I can finally say that. With Anthony and Melissa, following the biblical example, you have expressed your desire to do this together before the Lord. And so when we dedicate a child to the Lord, we are promising him. We are promising the Lord that you're going to do everything in your power to raise her in a godly way, prayerfully, until they can make their own decision to accept the Lord. And we know that children can accept the Lord at a very early age, and that is what we are believing for. And so parents who make this vow of commitment, you're instructed to do it the way that God says so. So you may not always obey him completely in your process, because parents are going to make mistakes. You have permission to make mistakes from God. As long as you keep God as the center, he'll take care of all of our mistakes, right? But your heart is turned towards him, and he has your heart. And so, okay, the baby dedication disappeared. Sorry, I did put it in a different order for them. Okay. All right. The responsibilities include teaching and training in the child of God's word. And Jesus demonstrated his acceptance and love for the little children when he said this: suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now, I looked this up and I was studying it out And he was mad at the disciples because little children were trying to come to him, and he was mad. It says, if you look up the original, he had anger towards them, disappointment, because he was like, don't you understand? This is what the kingdom actually looks like. And it doesn't just mean an infant. It means children. And it even doesn't even mean just that. It means new believers. And Jesus was making a point that this is what the kingdom of God is made of. It's not of just mature people. It is made up of hungry hearts. And a child is so innocent. And when they are growing up, they just take everything in. And they're so innocent. And so he's saying, let them come to me. Teach them how to come to me. Give them the promises and see that they come to them. And so today we take this opportunity for this precious child to declare your intentions to raise her in the ways of God, providing a home with biblical instruction. And so this lays the foundation and a benchmark for her that you can return to, that you did it right, that you're doing it on purpose and you did it right. And so this is a family dedication where your families have joined us. And so we agree, they agree. Do you, family, do you agree that they're going to be raised at biblical principles? Say amen. Okay, so this is a time when you're promising the Lord to do everything within your power to model God's love. Amen? Okay. You will serve God as you raise her and invite her to make her own decision to receive Jesus and follow God. Amen. You will teach and train her in God's word and never stop to tell the stories of our Lord that will continue from generation to generation. Amen. So you will discipline her according to God's way, although none of us actually believe she'll ever need to be disciplined. But you will if you need to, right? Amen. Amen. And that you will continue to pray earnestly for her and for your future children. Just going to throw that out there too. The Bible says this, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And so we want to thank God for your child and the joy and the love she brings to all of us. And as she grows and as you play with her and as you pray with her, you provide a moral foundation for her to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is to the extended family. I'm going to talk to you for just 1 minute. It's your responsibility also, because it takes a whole team of people, amen? And so it's your responsibility to provide caring and supportive love for this family. And I ask you to be faithful in prayer for them and help them in their efforts to have a strong Christian home built on Christian principles. And I know you've prayed for her. And how many of you love her? Oh, okay. And so she's going to grow physically, mentally, and spiritually. And now the charge to liberty. Okay. The church, we at Liberty, are also thrilled about Me, LeMay, aren't we? Yes. Amen. And so, but we take this very seriously. And that's why, you know, we want people to come to this church before we dedicate their babies. Because we, the church, are dedicated to help this child. We are dedicated to the children, to raise them up in the truth and to know what the word of God is and to get saved and to get filled with the Spirit and to love God with all of their heart. And it takes all of us working together. And that's one reason why God brought us together as a church. And so, Liberty, are you going to be a place of worship where we give the full counsel of God and help raise up, be the man in the ways of the Lord?
Yes.
Okay, good. Jesus loves the children. We love the children. And so we thank God for her and for you. And so, Anthony and Melissa, in the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up Mila May in a godly manner that pleases the heart of God? Okay. Do you promise to lead her to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Yes. And so, Mila means miracle. One of the things is miracle. And dear one. And May means gift of God and blessed. And so we recognize her worth today, and we recognize the value of what you two have already deposited in her. And we call her priceless to you, to us. And I thank God for all the people she's going to affect already. She's one of the little diamonds on the water. So I'm going to pray over her. Will she let me hold her while I wake her up? It will wake her up so that I know I won't. I'll just kiss her instead. My bubbles. Lord, we just thank you so much for me, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing upon her life, Lord. I thank you, God, that she is a lover and a server of you, Lord, a worshiper in this house. Lord, I thank you that you have set her apart already. You put her together and formed her in her womb. And Lord, I just thank you that she came out to actually be a blessing. And so, Lord, we bless her for being the blessing, God. We bless you that all those promises we read today, it's for her and her family. Lord, I thank you that Mila will be different, to be set apart. She will shine in the darkness, Lord. I thank you that she is very loved, and she's going to be able to give out a lot of love. Lord, I thank you for the call upon her life. I thank you, Lord, that her love will extend to other people, and God, that she is going to have her own following. That's what I hear God say, her own following of people. So she is a leader, and she will be set in the front, and it'll be normal for her. And that God will instruct her in his ways, and he will teach her how to be and how to draw other people into an easy way of serving him. She won't be like a dictator. She's going to trick them into loving Jesus. I don't know how that looks, but it's her way. It's her way of calling them near. And so, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your presence that lives in her and through her. And, Lord, I bless Missy and I bless Anthony today, Lord, as mother and father and all of the relatives, God, that you help them with these children, Lord. I thank you for me and coming children, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, you've ordained this day in your kingdom, and you are watching, you are here, you are right here in our midst, and you are receiving this child into your care. And we thank you, Lord, for protecting her, for revealing yourself to her, and for making her one with you. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, on the authority of God's holy word, and as a minister of Christ, I dedicate Mila May unto the Lord and unto his service. And I declare that this dedication, with full hearts and full love, will be a set thing in her life for the rest of her life. Amen. 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 All right. Here's your certificate, Missy. Well, Anthony, I love you. Wait, I didn't get kisses. No. I love you so much. You had to wake up to see me. Oh, wait. Oh, no. This is my one opportunity. It's okay. Hi. Oh, come on. I love you. Thank you for that. You woke up just in time. Look, say hi to everybody. They are all for you. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I can't stand it. Okay. Say hi to Tirsa because she's very sad because she didn't feel good today. And so say hi, Tirsa. Okay. Okay, I don't want to do anything else but kiss the baby, but all right. Thank you for that. You're so sweet. I love you. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. Okay. Whew. Okay. Now, if I could ever figure out where I am today on these papers, I've changed them so much today. We are where? Now we are certain. Yes, we are. I got it. Thank you. Okay. So now we are starting. This was so hard for me today because there are so many elements I want you to get. You know, I spend a lot of time trying to hear from God for every service because it is my heart always that whatever is being talked about, whatever is being said, whatever is being done, is that it will draw you closer to his heart and you will fall in love with him. That's why we serve him. Not because we have to, but because we love him. We are in love with God in this church. And if you fall in love with him, you will just do what is righteous. It's normal. It's not a job. It's not another check mark. It's what we do. And so when we see how beautiful it is to see a family continuing, we have the grandparents, and they're so beautiful, and the parents, and the next generations, and the aunts, and the uncles, and the cousins, and they're all here because they understand the importance of generation to generation. And so people have come from far away, and that is how God has always planned it. That people will come from far away to celebrate what God is doing and what family is really all about. And so we celebrate that, and God has been dealing with me about the testimonies that he has as a heritage forever. And so we have to know that God cares about the future generations, and because he cares about the future generations, we have to care about how our future generations can be heard and can be taught. And so the Lord has been dealing with my heart. And, you know, I said I would never talk about politics. So I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to talk about politics. But I am going to talk about God's heart for this nation. And I am going to talk to you about how important it is that we do the right thing. Because if we don't have the opportunity to teach the next generation, they may never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are countries that cannot hear the gospel of Jesus Christ unless they are hiding. One of the most impacting things I ever saw was when missionaries went into China and they had Bibles, but they didn't have enough for everyone. And so they tore the pages out of the Bible. And they had to memorize the pages before they gave it to the next person. And when they gave the Bibles, they cried and hugged them. Because they cared so much about the Word of God continuing. Because they knew the value of the Word. And we live in America. And we believe that God has blessed America. And he has. And I don't think that we have any idea what can happen if we don't stand for godly principles, and if we don't stand for what is right. But I will tell you that there is a conclusion that I have come to, and that is not that I'm going to tell you how to vote, Republican or Democrat, but I am going to tell you this. You better know what these people stand for. You better know what they're voting for. You better know who they are for and what they are against, because it can change the course of America. If you've talked to anybody that is from other countries, that like Venezuela, like Cuba, you can hear the stories of how their thriving countries in a few years went down to starving people and standing in lines for bread and a destroyed economy, etc. And so we don't believe that would ever happen in America, but we also didn't believe that a pastor could be threatened to go to jail, and that his congregation, they had been taking in America, been taking down their license plates and planned to fine them $1,000 for every time they had attended church during COVID. That was in California. That was Pastor Shay On. That was when the governor there decided that you also could not meet and sing, even in your home, on Thanksgiving. Okay, now, if we don't think that anything wrong can happen to America, we need to be awakened a little bit. And I just want you to wake up today and to understand we have a part to play as Christians. We have a part to play for the kingdom to continue in our own country that we love. And so this is what was happening. And when they told them they can't sing in their homes on Thanksgiving, why would that be? Well, let me tell you something. That is cross-ventilation to what God said about his kingdom. In Psalms 119, 111, it says, "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart, and I'm inclining my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end." I will praise God. We need to praise God, and we need to praise him every day, and we need to make sure that we can praise him every day without the threat of being hauled off to jail or worse. Everybody say amen. Amen. So we have an obligation to God to understand what people are really standing for and what they're really standing against. And nothing should stop our voices from praising God. Now, we know that Roe versus Wade got reversed. How many of you are happy about that? Okay, so we've been praying and praying and praying for that for years. And I always add this. If you have ever had an abortion, God loves you and he's not mad at you. And you can it can be as though that never happened. But we are never going to say anything different than what the Bible says. And here is what the Bible says. Psalm 71:6. "By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb, and my praise shall continually be of you." We know that he formed each child inside their mother's womb. That's why there's a DNA of God in each one. And so in California, where Cheyenne was, he had a background because he's Korean. And so his parents got saved, and communism took over, and he was tortured. They were tortured. And so they got out, and they got to America, and when he came to America, instead of him behaving himself, he backslid, and he was a rebel, and he did all kinds of drugs and got himself into all kinds of trouble. By the time he was 16, by the time he was 17, he was a drug dealer. He was causing other people to go into a failure in their lives. But there was this little thing that he couldn't stop, the prayers of his parents. He couldn't stop those promises that I read you this morning. He couldn't run far enough away to not be caught by the very presence of God. And so when he came to the end of himself and came straight to the place where he had to make a decision, he said, "Okay, God, I don't even know if you are real. I mean, my parents say you're real. I've been taught that you are real, but you better prove to me that you are real because I really want to know." And you know, there comes a time in everybody's life when they have to decide, is God real for them? Because God was real for my parents and God was real for my grandparents, but I wanted to know in my lifetime, is God real for me too? And he made himself real to me, and he made himself real to Cheyenne in that moment. And so he said, God came and he wrapped his arms of love around him and he held him and he melted his heart. And from that day forward, he not only has served God, but he has raised up generations to serve God. And three of his four children are in ministry and his grandchildren are coming to know the Lord. They're just little, but they're all coming to know the Lord one by one. Generation to generation to generation. And so coming from that background, he knew that there had to be an atmosphere where they could continue to thrive. And so when they came to his church and shut him down and said, "Okay, you cannot even meet." There was no social distancing stuff. There was no just wear a mask and social distance like we got to. It was like it wasn't really America over there. It was like, you cannot meet, you cannot worship, you cannot raise your voice, you cannot sing, you cannot gather, you can't even gather outside. And he saw this as exactly what was going to happen if this continued, is that that society, it's beginning to go in the direction of a communist country. And he said, oh no, I'm going to take a stand. And you know what? If he was just one church, even though he was a mega church, if he was just one voice from one church, they probably wouldn't pay any attention to him. But he sued the governor of California. Okay, I like his guts. And so he not only sued them, but he had 147 other churches in alignment with him. Now, when you and 147 churches take a stand, now you have the attention that you need in order to be the difference. Correct? Yes. It had to go all the way to the Supreme Court because this was a constitutional infringement of our rights, which is why I'm here today being able to say this in a church. And so it went before the Senate. And because there were people that were righteous, that had given their hearts to righteousness' sake, they realized this was an infringement, and they said, not only can they meet, not only can they worship, but now you are going to pay back all of their legal fees and give them over $1 million. Hallelujah. Your voice matters. What you stand for matters. Who you're with matters. If he was alone and he didn't have people that stood with him, he would have never had that victory. But he did have that victory. So, well, why am I sticking this in a sermon? Pastor Don, this is not like you. Well, it is now. Because I understand that we have to be a people that utilizes our God-given rights that align with the Word of God so we can save and impact the next generation. Because I love generations. I am here because I love you. I laid down my life because I love him, and then I love you, and I believe we have to pass this on to the next generation, and I don't want to have to be hiding in a basement somewhere to do it. And so I would be willing, but I'd rather not. Would you be willing? And would you rather not? And so we're responsible to the next generation. And so if you don't think that your voice matters and how you vote matters, you have to realize that as a Christian, laws of this land will affect everything. The laws that are voted in will affect everything. It affects your freedom. It will affect your church. It will affect your children. It will affect your family. It will affect your health and how that goes. It will affect your money, our finances, our economy. It will affect your business and the transactions you're allowed to have. It will affect your property. It is affecting our schools. 5 people in the school system have recently been removed because of what they had decided for our children. Praise God, God's turning it around. It will affect your home. It will affect your home. And here's how it affects your home. There is nothing like the society that we know of in America that it is today, where the children are being bombarded with things that we couldn't even imagine. We couldn't even have thought of the evil that is on commercials alone, let alone in every cartoon and movie. They are infiltrating the minds of our beloved families, and they are trying to shift things, and they're trying to change the righteousness of God. But they say, well, you know, it's your body, it's your choice. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says I am not my own. In fact, the Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We just had a victory a week ago in our system here because people went to court and they fought for the medical association, the medical board, that they would not be forced to to change people's body's parts before they were old enough to even decide on their own, just to save them. They don't even know that if they do that, they have to take hormones for the rest of their life, and there are horror stories of what that does to their bodies. And so then they change their mind, and they can't change it back. What we do matters. Who we vote for matters. You better know what you're voting for. You can all get mad at me if you want to, but I'm teaching you the Word of God, and the Word of God tells me I need to instruct you, and I'm trying to train you, and I'm trying to teach you, and I'm trying to get you to open your eyes today, because somebody has to say it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. What we vote for can affect our security. Did you see what happened with riots? Do we remember businesses being burned to the ground? Some people have never even recovered from that. It can affect our safety. It can affect the poor. It can either cause people to be able to have access to things they need or not. It can affect the unborn, as we've seen. It can affect the gospel being preached. And so everyone and everything are affected by laws. And in Florida, we haven't seen the full effect of this because our governor has really protected us from a lot of this. And so, we were able to have choices about masks before anybody else was. We could keep our businesses open. We were allowed to have our churches open. Well, what if we had a governor like California? What was the difference? Oh, I know somebody voted. Somebody voted. They voted for the governors. And those governors made decisions. And those decisions affected the people. And those people had to abide by the laws that was in place. And so we have to obey what God says concerning the next generations. And so we have to consider what the Bible has to say. How many of you know this? And so what if we are dealing with a stubborn and rebellious generation? Oh, I know I'm not talking about now, but I am. Okay, so Psalm 78:8 says this. Don't be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They turned back in the day of battle. We can't turn back in the day of battle. We got to go forward, and we got to battle forward for our rights and for our children's right and for generations. And so it says they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Whose law are you walking in? They forgot his works and wonders that he has shown them. I just want to tell you that God has done marvelous things. He has done amazing things. And this is what they are being reminded of. He did marvelous things in the sight of the fathers in the land of Egypt. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. That was all true. This is not a fairy tale. That happened. In the daytime, he led them with cloud, at night with the light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance. He gave them streams out of a rock. He caused waters to run like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their hearts by asking for the food of their fancy. And they spoke against God, and here's what they said. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Well, I got to tell you something. God is preparing a table in the wilderness right now. He is making way, and he will never stop providing for his children. No matter what happens, I know that the word tells me the righteous will never be seen begging bread, and I am standing on that right now. And I hope we never have to be put that to the test. But we have to be responsible for teaching the children how to live right. And here's what happens is a lot of people are, they have their own way of thinking. And so they want to teach what they want to teach instead of teaching what the Word of God says, but the Word of God is our anchor. The Word of God is our foundation. We cannot vary from the Word of God if we are to receive all the blessings of the Lord. Now, you can do whatever you want because you are a free people, and you can vote any way you want, and you can choose any way you want, and you can do whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, if you want to have the blessing of the Lord over your life that will never fail you, that He will always be there for you, you need to listen to what the Word has to say and give your attention, affection, and obedience to it. So in the beginning of this psalm, Psalm 78:1, this is written by Asaph. And he's trying to get the attention of God's people so they could hear the wisdom that he's about to speak. And that's what I'm trying to give you, is wisdom. And it says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. To my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Incline means to bend forward, to bend the head or the body forward. It means you come in and you listen to what is being said. Listen to what is being said. Because somebody has to listen to the word of the Lord. Verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable and instruction by numerous examples. I will utter dark sayings of old. Dark here does not mean dark, like we think evil dark. It means question, hard questions, like challenging questions. It's like talking in parables, because somebody has to open their mouth and say the truth. Somebody has to speak the truth. And so, verse 3, it says, we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And here's the secret of the day. The fathers and the mothers, the spiritual fathers and the spiritual mother, we have to keep saying it. We have to keep teaching. We have to keep preaching. We have to keep telling the truth of who God is and how he wants us to live. And we will not hide them from our children, but we will tell to the generation to come the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord and his might and the wonderful works that he has performed. Now, I just want to tell you, this is the secret. All you have to do is keep telling people about how good he is. All you have to do is tell people about how righteous he is. All you have to do is walk in love. The reason why I would never speak about this before is because during 2020 and all that happened, people hated each other. On either sides of the aisle, there was hatred in the church. Not our church, but in the church, people began to hate each other because they had such vivid stands. I will never stand for hatred. I will never allow those things to happen on my watch. And I am not telling you to vote for a donkey or an elephant. I am telling you, vote for righteousness. Amen. That's all. That's all. You decide what's righteous. You decide what the word has to say. But you have to educate yourself. I am not going to stand up here and tell you what everybody that is, you know, being voted for. It is the primaries on Tuesday. Why are you doing this, Pastor Don? Oh, my God. It's the primaries on Tuesday. I am a little bit concerned. If we love God, we have to keep telling of his deeds. If we tell of his deeds and we live our life for him, and if we give him praise, we have to also secure the fact so can the next generation secure being able to praise, being able to tell the truth, being able to invade the darkness with truth. People will always have the right to make their own decision. No one is going to tie them down. But when the righteous are in control, the people rejoice. But when evil prevails, they groan. Okay, well, it's in the Bible. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. A law in Israel. Commanding the fathers that they should make the great facts of God's dealing with Israel known to their children. It is our responsibility to pass on God's heart to the next generation and tell all of the things that he has done. And keep them going from generation to generation so that they can be recounted to the children over and over, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep his commandments. So somebody has to keep telling and telling and telling who God is and what he's done to recount to the next generation so they can account to the next generation. So we have to be faithful to tell his laws, God's laws, to the children so they will continue telling the generations in front of them. And so Proverbs 4 says this, verse 10, "Listen, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be long. I will guide you in the way of wisdom, and I will lead you along straight paths. And when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And when you run, you will not stumble. But hold on to this instruction, and do not let it go, and guard it well, for it is your life. Pay attention to what I say," verse 20. "Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body." We have to know what the law of the Lord is, what makes his heart beat. And I never, you know, if you've been here at any time at all, you know this. It is the love of God that calls men to repentance. I will hang my life on that. Because telling people that they are evil because they have sin in their life, I would like anyone without sin to stand up. All right, then we're on equal ground because we are in process of obeying fully, but we have not reached where we need to be. But we have to be the ones who make an opportunity for other people to come to know him. And when you love God openly and with the ability to open your mouth and say why you are making the decisions that you are making, you can make the difference in somebody else's life. And even if you just have a healthy, healthy, loving discussion, can we do this? A healthy, loving discussion? And it is so hard because people have such strong opinions that they forget God is in the middle. If Jesus is the reason why you're saying what you're saying and why you're doing what you're doing, you don't have to be afraid to voice your opinion, but voice it in love. Voice it with a heart to and if people don't want to hear you, okay. Do you love them still? Are you going to come against them because they feel a different way or their decision is a different? We are loving people. We love God. We are going to stand for truth. We are going to vote for righteousness. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to let other people decide what they're going to do. But we are going to have a voice, and we are going to voice our opinion in love. Wow. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience." A pure conscience. Not today, we're not being judged, but someday there will be a judgment day, and you will be responsible for your words and your actions when you stand before the Lord. And he said, "Without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you." This is Paul writing to Timothy. "Being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also." So what you believe and what you say and what you let come out of your mouth is being passed on to affect future generations, whether you know it or not. So if I could persuade you today to do anything, it would be this. Go before God sincerely. Lay down everything at his feet. Your preconceived notions, your preconceived decisions. If we're going to do it God's way, what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of our opinion being changed? Because we have no fear if we are willing to just look at the Bible. There's no fear in that. He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. He said, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give it to you, and I will give it to you the whole thing. I'm not going to withhold anything from you. If you ask for wisdom, we need wisdom in this time. We need wisdom. That's all I'm saying. And we need Jesus to help us, because we are not smart enough to make all these decisions. You know, I have to look at what people did. It takes time. I don't want to know all the crazy stuff that's going on, but I'm going to take the time to know before I circle in somebody that I'm going to vote for. I want to know, how do they line up with this? Because this is my standard. This is my life. This is how I lead my life. This is my safeguard. This is my protection. This is my God. This is his promises. This is how I live my life. I'm going to live my life according to his word, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And if I don't like it, I remember in some of the voting, nobody ever knows how I vote because I never let you know how I vote. On purpose. But I will tell you this. I see God. And I will tell you that he has had me vote for people I didn't like. I want to vote for him. But God said, vote for that person. And I went, surely you jest. And he said, no, I want you to vote that way. I'm like, but here's what I know. God is ultimately in control if we allow him the privilege of being our final answer. And so why would we not include him in the things that could affect the way we live our lives in the future? We have to include him. And so how do we partner with God for our children in the future? You know, somebody sent me this quote. It says, there comes a time, and many times actually in the lives of our children, where we have to put the basket in the water, like the mother of Moses, and we have to let go and trust the plan of the Father. And the world is a scary place, a place where we fear our children could drown. But we must remember we have to let go so that God can draw them out of the water for his great purpose. He has called us to be their parents. He's called us to be their parents. But they were his first. So we partner with God in the future by teaching them his ways. We partner with God by standing for righteousness. We partner with God by being the ones who can say, but you don't understand. This is the heart of the Father. This is what Jesus looks like. And so when Jesus was out demonstrating the kingdom to all of the disciples and to the future, he made very strong statements. And he wanted his disciples to know that in every statement, no matter what he said, it was still covered in love. And so we have to keep saying, don't prevent the next generations from coming to Jesus, but help them to come to Jesus and give them opportunity to come to Jesus. So we have to be the part of people in society that allows the little children, the immature, the children to grow up and to learn how to follow him in everything we do. And so when we do that, we become a force of righteousness inside and outside of our four walls. Amen? Okay, so how many of you may not agree with everything I just said, and that's okay. You can disagree with me, but I think we could all agree on this. How many of you agree that America must go forward as a free nation? We all agree with that, right? Okay, so how many of you agree that God is God?
Yes.
Okay. How many of you agree that prayer and declarations work? Okay, so we're going to make some declarations today together. Okay, so say this after me. If you're in agreement, that's fine. Okay, say this after me and mean it. We decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch, Congress, will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblically based and constitutional. We declare that we will stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation. And I will add, we are awakening. And it's not against people. It's against the agenda of the enemy. Okay, and we declare that we take back our God-given freedoms according to the Constitution in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So when you go to Tuesday to cast your vote, pray. Just pray. Just pray and ask God who you're going to vote for, and vote for God. Just vote for righteousness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Now I feel like I just gave you a political thing, which I actually am very uncomfortable doing. But I will say this. I asked God, well, why am I uncomfortable about this? Is it uncomfortable or is it wrong? Right. And he said, no, you're uncomfortable because all you want to do is hug everybody and tell them you love them and that God loves them and he loves them the most. And he said, but sometimes you have to challenge them. And so that's the part of the challenge. And the reason why is because babies like Mila and like all the children of this church need to have the opportunity to hear the gospel openly and without reserve and without fear. Amen? Amen? And so we have to stand on the promises of God. Now, I am challenging you to do that. And I'm also going to make another challenge is this. Is that if your heart, like if you just got mad at anything I said today, you need to just examine that and ask why. Because I didn't tell you how to vote. I just told you you had to put Jesus at the center. And in every one of your life decisions, you need to keep Jesus at the center. And I will never apologize for that. Because Jesus is the way, he's the truth and the life. He's the only way that whereby men can be saved. He is the one who matters to us and he made a way for us in eternity to spend our eternal life with him. He came and paid the price to cover over all of our sin. Every bit of sin that you have ever done, Jesus covered with his blood. And when you receive him, you receive all of that forgiveness and you are not held accountable for that sin anymore. That is the Father that we serve. He made it amazingly obvious that generations mattered to him because he gave his son. He didn't give a substitute. He didn't create something else so that he could make the substitute for our sins. He gave his son. The hardest thing that he could give, he gave for us to be saved so that we could be changed. And so every day we must decide, should we live for this God who gave everything for us, or will we choose our own way? And so the challenge is this. Examine your heart right now. Let God let you know, how do you stand in your relationship with God? And is there anything that needs to be adjusted? And is there anything that you need to ask him to forgive you for? Because justification is one thing, but holiness is another. And it is a journey of living holy. And so I'm just going to pray right now, and you can pray secretly, you can pray it within yourself, but I feel like I just need to do this. So Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I thank you that Every person has a desire to know you if you're really real. I keep hearing these same words over and over. And on every occasion, three in the last 2 weeks that I know of personal acquaintances of mine that have asked that question, and you showed up and wrapped your arms of love around them and said, I am real. I am here. I am your Father. I am your God. Melting their hearts and making them different. And so today, Lord, I know you're offering this to everyone. I know that you are giving opportunity. You're drawing people to your heart. You're drawing people to yourself so that they can know you in a different way and experience that kind of love that melts them. And so, Lord, right now, we just want to give you permission, Lord, that if there's things that need to be adjusted or changed, Lord, make yourself real. Just make yourself real. And let our hearts be willing to hear what you have to say, because you alone have the words of eternal life. Where else could we go but to you? So, Father, make yourself real. Jesus, we honor you for your sacrifice. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to change our hearts and our minds. We give you that opportunity. And we want to not be insistent on our own way, but come before you with humility. I had to do it. We all have to do it at some point, God. And I thank you. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. I thank you. You did pay the price on the cross. You took all of man's sin. You hung there. You bled. You died. And you reunited us with our Father God. I thank you that you didn't stay in the grave, but you came out of that grave. And when you did, you resurrected life for us. And so we are determined to live our life in the resurrection power that you provided. And we thank you for your love, and I ask that your love would pour over every individual in this place and also every individual watching. And we thank you for the transformation power of your love. Thanks, Lord. Thanks. I pray if you did that today, if you allowed the Holy Spirit any adjustment, just go to the Word. Just see what it has to say. Align yourself with it. It is solid. It is forever. He's watching over his Word forever. And he will make it stand, and he will make it stand for you and make a difference in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. I love you. But who do we love the most?
Jesus.
And who loves them the most?
Jesus.
All right. Go tell somebody. Hug everybody.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.